You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The ageless God is the only joy left to a world that is aging.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, you roll up the world like a garment, and yet you care for us, such as we are. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God, and you send your Son to humble himself for us, to die for us. In our youth, direct us, and in our old age, bear us up with your kindness, your never-ending kindness. Give us faith to trust you, and love to warm our loveless world. Give us life. For the sake of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When it comes to growing old, each one of us is his own specialist. Whether child, adolescent, young married, middle-aged, or senior citizen, each one of us is growing older. A hospital chaplain told me about one of those specialists whom he met one day in room 251D. The nurse told him that this one would not hear a word he said. The nurse was correct. The woman could not hear. The curled-up little old lady who had just entered the hospital had only one external adornment, a series of intravenous tubes and oxygen tubes. She reached out to the chaplain and said, "Here I am, 95 years old, all alone, tired, and now I have to go through all of this, too. It is a sad story. All of us wish it weren't so, but it is." In the great 40th chapter of his prophecy, Isaiah thought so too. He said, "The voice said, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever." It's a practical fact of life. The grass withers and the flower fades. All of us know that. Just as practical and just as true is this. The word of our God shall stand forever. "That's true, my friends," said the prophet. "If that's true," he added at the end of the chapter, "something else is true for both young and old. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Does that really mean what it says, or is it just talk? "I guess I just didn't know what I was asking," lamented the 63-year-old man. "My only prayer as a young man was for a long life. I guess I just wasn't smart enough to know what I was going to be in for." He was talking from his hospital bed and was referring to things that make growing old difficult for people. Until now, he hadn't been aware of just how lonely his wife's death a few years before had left him, because he was able to be up and be around during that time. Now, when he was sick, he had nothing to do but lie in bed and wait for death. "She's not at my side," he said. A diminishing circle of family and friends, a circle made smaller by death or by inability to visit one another, limits what people can do. With more time on their hands to think, many older people spend their time dreading dying by inches while thinking about the life that might have been. They have a real concern for having sufficient funds to make ends meet during the remaining days or years. Even healthy older people who still have lots to do and people left with whom to do it worry whether or not they'll be able to finance it all. We could go on for a long time talking about the problems that are unique to people who are growing old. One of the most difficult is, of course, he or she is no longer at my side. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes said, "Remember your Creator. In the days when you are young, you're not young very long." It was a practical man who wrote those words. If you don't know him and make friends with him when you are young, you're not likely to know him or to be his friend when you're old. It's a fact of life that older people become set in their ways and have great difficulty absorbing a new idea. The prophet Isaiah pointed out the pathetic nature of the aging process, but another idea had captured him. He did not just get an idea, and it did not just come to him. It was a matter of conviction with him, coming from God, the creator of the ends of the earth. "Hast thou not known," he asked people, "hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding." People have their own ideas, especially when they get old. How great life would be if we could live a long time without having to grow old. If we could afford to continue enjoying all the things we like, and with the passage of time keep adding to that list. Now that would be a ball. To have the maturity and wisdom that come with time and experience could make life fun and fascinating. But we all grow old. Our bodies weaken, our funds get smaller and smaller, and family and friends become fewer and fewer. Just when with retirement we have all the free time we've always wanted to have, nothing is left to fill in those huge blocks of time. It seems that when we were young, there was always too little time. Now that we are no longer young, there's too much time. Why does God let things happen that way? A distinguished physician has told me that even if there were no evil on earth, no sin to sap the strength of people, no disease to waste their bodies, people would still grow old. God would have had to take care of that in some way, he said, that was in keeping with his divine purpose, his gracious will, his loving care. But people had to do it on their own. They had to take care of it for him. They'd do it their own way. They would not go his way. They would rather go their own way. That's the sin of our world. Everything else is symptom, but that's the sin. You don't have to be irreligious to be a sinner. Who of us has not gone his own way, his own unloving, uncaring, and unknowing way, which makes old age a thing to be born rather than a thing of beauty? The wages of sin is death. Right at the outset, the Creator made that clear. But we had to make it come true for ourselves. We cannot blame him for the fact that we've earned those wages. They come true all the time for both young and old. A pastor in a parish told me the other day about 1 week in his ministry. He conducted a funeral for a woman who was 79 years old, full of years. Another funeral was for a 19-year-old young man. Still another funeral was of a 43-year-old man, the father of four children. Still another funeral in the same week was for a 14-year-old boy who was killed while riding his bicycle. Death can come at any age. It is always bitter to the taste. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers. The flower fades. The writer of an article published in the early part of last year points out that old people are often ignored, rejected, exploited, abused, made fun of, and even hated. "Face it," said the author of the article, "many old people are eminently hateful. They whine, intrude, make you feel guilty, pretend they are senile, wear blue hair and pointy glasses, and use the excuse of old age as a murder weapon. People retaliate by creating detention centers for them. But, adds the author, there are more young people today than ever before, which means there will be, as he said, a god-awful number of old people in a few years. And what is even more awful is that one of them will be you. The author doesn't have any solution for this problem to speak of. You can't solve the problem of old age with sarcasm and overstatement. The only real solution is to have enough faith in God to show compassion. Only people with faith in God have the courage to be compassionate. Without faith in God, they just strike out and hit everybody in sight. I notice that religious people do that, as much as irreligious people do. When you don't have faith in God, no matter what you say about God, you show it by the way you act, whether you're young or old. The author of the article I mentioned had something to say to young people. Many of today's young will make lousy old. A word to the young is never sufficient, but here goes anyway, he says. If you were born after 1940, you will have one bummer of a time adjusting to old age. Why? You have grown up in a generation obsessed with itself, and the older generation has paid you its share of attention as well. Praises of soft drinks are sung in your name. Voting age has been lowered to accommodate you. You, baby, have been at the center stage. As a result, you are already sounding like whining, bad old people as you approach 30. By now, you're beginning to get the idea, aren't you? It isn't just old people who whine and parade their disabilities. It isn't just young people who have the courage of life. We're all in this together. It's true of all of us that all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field, because the grass withers, the flower fades. On the one side we have mortal man, and on the other side we have the immortal God. He does not faint. He does not become weary. There's no way of telling exactly how he thinks or why he does things his way, because he always does them in his own way. He's God, and nobody's going to take his place. He is not retired, nor is he on Medicare. No one's going to tell him what to do. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord still blows upon them. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God endures forever. He's the everlasting, the creator, the never fainting and the never weary. He keeps on being, thinking, doing, loving, and giving. He does not quit. When people grow old, he doesn't quit thinking and planning and doing and loving and giving. When it comes right down to it, God is the only joy left to our world that is itself growing old. If you have no joy in him, what have you got left but to die? The facts of life, which always include the obtrusive fact of death, do not justify the optimism that people like to affect in order to make life livable. The facts of life, which always include the unobtrusive fact of God, do not justify the over-pessimism which drives people to despair and even makes some of them try to end it all. As a newspaper columnist has put it to older people, wake up and smell the coffee. Look the facts straight in the eye, my friend. Your days are numbered. How are you going to react to that? Don't tell me that I'm morbid, because I'm not. It's just a fact of life that young men may grow faint and weary. Even in their prime, they stumble and fall. But I know something that you ought to know, too. Those who look to the Lord will win new strength. They will grow wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will march on and never grow faint. Here you are, and there's God. He's not as far away as you think. In between you is a man of God's own choosing, the one sent by God to be the Savior of the world. He's the last and best evidence not only that God exists, but that he loves you. His flesh was like grass, too. His flower faded just like yours. He died in the prime of life. We have to wonder that God would do things like that, but he's God, and he does not give up. He faints not, neither does he grow weary. There's no searching of his understanding. He sent his son to die for all of us. He raised that son from the dead, and he gave him glory. It was God who declared his son to be the Lord of all. By resurrection from the dead, instead of death, God gives life. He gives it. As St. Paul said, the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. through our Lord Jesus Christ. Young men can faint and be weary, and young men can fall on their faces, but they that wait upon the Lord, both young and old, shall renew their strength. They will be empowered from within to mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, though they lie on their beds. And they shall not be weary, though they have lived a long life. They shall walk, though those old legs are not what they were. And they will not faint. They will go on from strength to strength. It's the grace of God who gives what only He can give. And that's life. Life eternal. Most of the time when people say, I need strength, they're talking about meeting the responsibilities of today. Those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. That's His promise. He's an ageless God in an aging world. People say, I need strength. They're often talking about some difficulty, like forgiving somebody else, or living with somebody else, or living without somebody else. The power of faith in God is remarkable. It carries people over the worst obstacles they have to face. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's His promise. It's the pledge of the ageless God to an aging world. As I prepare this sermon for broadcast, it's my mother's 90th birthday. She has one big problem. She has trouble walking. She used to run up and down stairs, and now she has trouble walking. But she has something else that keeps her going, that gives her strength to live. It's not just the memories of bygone years. It's the promise of the future. It is God, whom she knows very well, because she is a good friend of His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ loves her. And she loves Him. It's the beginning and the ending of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now He sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. My mother is one of the many like her who wait upon the Lord. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Older people do not change their minds readily. If you've lived long without God, it does not mean that you have to wind up that way, without God and without hope in the world. Renewal of life is for you as much as it is for anyone. You do not have to make up for your past, because He made it up for you. Jesus Christ died for you. He's God's Son. God loves you. He does not faint or grow weary. He gives you life through faith in Jesus Christ. He wants to renew your strength, so that you can mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not be weary yourself, to walk and not faint. All He wants is to take the plight of your life and to turn it to delight. He wants you, young or old, in this aging world. In this aging world, there is the ageless God, His Son Jesus Christ, still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And still, He wants you. Amen and amen. Bye.